Welcome to the Building Texas Show. This week we have an exciting episode visiting with the Magdalena House, specifically the executive director, Reverend Becca Magnitsky, who is leading the charge in building this neighborhood in San Antonio that really helps mothers and children come out of difficult situations and really step into a brighter future focused around education, accountability, and growing out of that circumstance in a beautiful way. So thank you, Becca, for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Justin.
So tell me, where did the Magdalena House start and where are you today?
Sure. So we opened our doors in 2007. We were the dream of Reverend Denise Barker, and she worked with University Methodist Church to get us started. We're a transitional shelter for women and their children who are fleeing domestic violence and trafficking. And we've been doing this for 17 or 18 years. One of the interesting things was that when Denise founded Magdalena House, she recognized that for the families coming in with complex trauma, there wasn't a one-size-fits-all approach, and it really needed to be a multifaceted strategy in order to help them to heal and to grow. And since the very beginning, we've been doing that. We've been providing education and enrichment classes, case management, therapeutic services, all sorts of support so that the outcomes for the families are better than when they come in.
That's incredible. And having toured your facility and seen the community that it really is, I would not have thought about all of the aspects of nurturing a mother and a child back into growth, back into a journey of success and next steps and looking forward to the future. Walking around your neighborhood, I saw gardens and I saw community centers. So what does that look like for a mother and a child coming into Magdalena House?
Well, in order for these families to experience healing, they have to feel safe. That's step one. And we often think about safety in terms of security when we're talking about shelters that support women who are coming out of violence. And that's really important. But another aspect of safety is the physical environment and making sure it doesn't feel like you're, one in a million, but like you have a home, you have a beautiful landscape, you have a place where you can finally breathe and feel safe. And that's one of the things we hear most when moms move in is, wow, I didn't expect it to look like this. We're built to look like a neighborhood so that the families feel like this is a normal community. This is a place where I can begin my life again.
And so what is the story of your graduate look like? And I don't know that graduate's the right word, but how do you celebrate someone that transitions through your facility and into the next phase?
Yeah. So one key component of Magdalena House is that all of the moms who live there are full-time students. So that could be ESL, GED certifications, or college coursework, and they can stay as long as they're working on those academic goals. So for some families, that could be a number of years until they graduate, up to a bachelor's degree. Now, not everyone wants to do a bachelor's degree, and that's okay. They get to decide, what that path looks like for them. But really, graduation day is one of the biggest days in our community. All the staff show up to celebrate with this family. The kids are sitting in the stands with us watching mom. And the impact that that has on the child to see their mom be able to succeed in that way. The kids are more likely to graduate from college if they see their mom graduate from college. We've had families who move in who don't speak English yet, and they start with ESL, and then they go get an associate's degree, and they graduate with a bachelor's degree. So it's pretty incredible in terms of the opportunities that come with that degree for the family. When they leave Magdalena House, we want it to be the last shelter they ever stay at. So their future, their and their child's future looks vastly different.
And I think about that from the generational impact, because you are focused on the mother and the children. And that is unique in this environment as well, because you are nurturing that child to really break generational,
absolutely,
systemic issues in historically that you can come in and now you can educate out of, put into a whole new balance of safety, mm-hmm, that allows that child to experience a childhood.
Yeah.
And then grow into a bright future, which I think is an incredible testament to what you do.
Right. You know, we're a dual generation program. So we recognize that the success of the mom and the success of the child are inherently tied together. If mom is happy and healthy and safe, child is going to be happy and healthy and safe, and vice versa. You know, one of the things we focus a lot on when it comes to the kids is building protective factors. Protective factors are these foundational, safe characteristics that a family is in that helps to not only mitigate and eliminate the risk of the family, but also to build healthy relationships and stable conditions for the family in the future. And so protective factors look like having safe adults around who are not related to them. It looks like mom having the support of a community behind her. Having or growing in parenting skills is really important when it comes to protective factors. And that's really setting up both of them to eliminate those cycles of abuse and poverty so that both of them can be successful in life.
And that sounds a lot like the programming I saw at your facility with the community center that you're building. You see ways for the mother or child to come in and use a fitness area, or to come in and have board game nights, or just to come in and have community that isn't necessarily in their home, but is in the traditional neighborhood setting that I think we've all romanticized, thought about, maybe experienced. But even today, I think all Americans, we live in our home so much more than we live in community. And so what you're doing, planting those seeds and giving children a view of a community setting, is really incredible. Do you have stories of success? What is a graduate story that you're really excited about?
Yeah. You know, one that comes to mind, we had a woman who lived at Magdalena House for a number of years. When she moved in, her child was a baby. And by the time that they moved out, he was in first grade, I think. So he had the stability of having a safe place to live for all of those years, going to the same school, that sort of thing. And while mom was at Magdalena House, she did ESL. So she learned to speak English first. She ended up graduating with honors from UTSA. And she got a job with one of the major corporations in San Antonio. So the picture of, you know, where she started from to where she ended up was vastly different. And that makes a huge impact on the child's life as well. And she's someone who is so proud to share her story. She is not hindered or ashamed by, you know, what happened to her, what she experienced, because she really has found her voice. She's feisty and determined. And I know that even now, she doesn't live at Magdalena House anymore, but even now, there is nothing that can stop her, because she has seen what she is capable of. And not only that, her son has seen what she's capable of too.
That's incredible. And really goes back to what Magdalena House has created and nurtured, and planting those seeds of success across multi-generations. You have a gala coming up. Can you tell us more about the gala, and what are your goals with the gala?
Yeah. So our annual gala happens every fall, and it is our biggest fundraiser of the year. Typically, it brings in about a third of our operating budget. So we rely really heavily on this event. This year's gala is going to be on September 28th at La Cantera Resort, and it's going to be the theme of an enchanting evening. And it's an event where you can hear all about what's happening at Magdalena House. You'll hear from some of the residents. You know, we have some great video and stuff, but it's also just a really fun night. You know, one of my favorite things about it is the moms come and they get to see the hundreds of people who are behind them that they don't see every day. You know, I think that often is a light bulb moment for them. But the evening has a live auction, a silent auction, and an after party, you know, a three-course dinner. It's a really fun way to donate to a good cause. We would love for your support in the gala. If you're interested in hearing more or in joining us, you can purchase tickets online. We're still looking for some sponsors. So we have some really great top-level sponsors already with UBO and Valero and Security Service Federal Credit Union. But we would love more, because everything that comes from the gala supports these families, allows us to help them for another year at Magdalena House. So for more information, if you're interested, please visit our website. It's maghouse.org, maghouse.org.
Fantastic. And you mentioned a couple of sponsors, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to say thank you to them, because they've made a lot of this possible. When I look at your website and how long those relationships have been in place, a testament to our San Antonio businesses and business community that really come in and support organizations like yours that are building a bright future for an impact 10, 20, 30 years away. So that's a really bright spot for UBO, Valero, Security Services. So thank you to them.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, they all have been long-term supporters of Magdalena House, and they've really made the program what it is.
As we look forward into the future, you have some exciting construction happening around your community center and really opening up a new kitchen to the community, which we've talked a lot about food security, and the cost of food is such a big thing for a lot of women and children in all phases of life today. Mm-hmm. So getting back to the basics of cooking and having a place where they can go learn to cook, be around cooking, that is what I took from your community center, but the space is so much bigger than that. Mm-hmm. What do you look forward to in the future as that opens up?
Yeah, you know, whenever we were dreaming about the building, we asked a lot of our key stakeholders, what does this building look like? And one group were the residents who lived there. And one thing we heard from them was they wanted a place where they could work out. Mm-hmm. So we built a little, I mean, nothing exciting or fancy or anything, but a little one-room gym that they can access 24/7 and work out, because that's really helpful whenever they're healing, is that physical activity. But it'll have a full kitchen. It'll have a lot of different therapy spaces for different therapeutic modalities. It's really important to our program that providers come on site to provide services. So we make sure that therapists and parenting educators come to Magdalena House so that there's no barrier when it comes to getting those services. And then on top of that, it's a huge community space. So there will be space to cook together, to eat together, to have classes, that sort of thing. And we'll have dedicated spaces for the children too. So we're really looking to expand our children's services offering, and this building is going to help us to do that.
As I want to paint the picture for our listeners around the neighborhood, because it really, we talked about it in the beginning of the show, but circling back to, you go into a traditional neighborhood and you see what is a traditional cul-de-sac and a place where you would want your kids out playing. You see a community garden celebrating pollinators, which I love. And then you have this community center building. So it really is a whole experience that I'd welcome any community to think about and say, how do you bring people together and bring that positive message, that positive education and influence around your neighbors? But you do it in such a beautiful way with the neighborhood. Do you see that neighborhood expanding? Do you see more houses coming in? What is the future of the neighborhood?
Absolutely. You know, this Family Empowerment Center that we're opening this fall is kind of the middle phase of our construction project. We're very fortunate in that we have enough physical space to build more residences. So in the next 3 to 5 years, that's the plan. We want to double our capacity. We recognize that in San Antonio, domestic violence and trafficking are major issues. I know in 2022, the police department received 53,000 calls related to family violence. It is it's something that we have to grapple with and we have to face. And one way that we at Magdalena House are preparing to do that is to be able to support more families. We know that more families need our services. And so construction is very constant. Important. It is constant. That's right. The strength of our community lies in the health of our families. You know, I really believe that. And so by supporting the mothers and children, we're changing the fabric of who San Antonio is, what our community is. And we're saying, you know, violence isn't okay and it's not going to be tolerated. And we're really thinking about what we want our community to look like tomorrow and in 20 years.
It's definitely brought more awareness to me around the data in San Antonio. San Antonio is a big city, but we often feel like it's a set of small villages, right? Mm-hmm. And even out here in the Hill Country, we see domestic violence and trafficking and other systemic issues of where we're going and what that future holds, especially for the kids that are coming into these situations and then how they navigate out. So how does a mom find Magdalena House and look for you as a solution or a service that they can leverage.
Yeah. You know, we get calls every day from women who are seeking our services. A big place that people hear about us from is 211, which is the United Way hotline. So anytime someone calls seeking services for domestic violence, they'll get our information. We're also on sacred.org, which is the San Antonio Community Resource Directory, so we can be searched that way. We get referrals from, you know, teachers, police officers, CPS caseworkers, kind of every which way. And that's another way that people who are listening to this right now can help, is that if you just remember our name, Magdalena House, then you never know when you're going to meet someone who might need our services. And we get a lot of referrals just from word of mouth. The thing with both trafficking and domestic violence is that it's prevalent, but it's not talked about. It's hidden in plain sight. And so you just don't know when you're going to encounter someone, or maybe something seems fishy or suspicious, and you can just give our name, our information, our website to that person, and they can call us for themselves and you know, see if we're able to help them.
Well, and what a great call, because I don't know that I know about the 211 program as an example. And that seems like something we should all be aware of and on the lookout for, especially as it relates to kids. When we see something, where do we go to say something? And so can you talk a little bit about 211? Just what is that for my education?
Yeah. So 211 is run through United Way. Yep. They have a website, and if you just call, dial 211. Yeah. but they have really every resource you could imagine for our community. So any place that is a food pantry or shelter, or maybe you need assistance with rent, you need a driver's license, anything like that, you can search for those services through 211.
Oh, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Did not know that. But also just not knowing it is part of the problem. And where I really celebrate what you're doing in the gala and getting the message out there around what are the challenges that we're facing, because we do live in a time where you might not see it. It is hidden in plain sight, as you put it, but it's very prevalent in our community and in the broader region. Mm-hmm. So having people out there being eyes and ears for these moms and children, understanding what organizations like you offer and where they can find support, where they can find resources, that's something I hope we can continue to celebrate and push forward. And just make everyone that's walking around aware that we all play a role in that safety net.
Absolutely. The community has such a huge role to play in just knowing what's available so you can help. And there are so many ways to pitch in. You know, this is an issue that affects everyone. Even if you don't feel like you know someone who has experienced this sort of trauma, I guarantee you that, you know, there is someone around you. There's not very much separation between us. And we all have a role to play, and we all make a difference in ensuring that this is not the future of our community.
How do you have that conversation? And this is just, again, it's not a comfortable conversation, but it's something you have a lot of experience with helping people. But for the everyday listener that maybe knows there's a situation, sees symptoms of it, but doesn't know how to approach or ask, do you have a recommendation? How would they approach that mother, or approach systems that could go help that mother? What is the appropriate next step when you see something?
You know, I think there are ways to do it very tenderly and honestly by saying, you know, I noticed this happen. Can mm-hmm. you say more about that? Or whenever I saw this happen, it seemed like this. Am I reading into that wrong? And a lot of times it's going to take more than one conversation. You know, statistically, it takes 7 times for a woman to leave her abuser. That's a lot of tries before they have success. Yeah. And unfortunately, not everyone has success in that. But if you show yourself to be a safe person who's willing to have these difficult conversations, then they're going to remember who you are and reach out to you when they feel like they're ready to.
How do you reach into the community, like the ESL community? That is, I think, one of our more invisible communities in our region. And I worry about it in the Hill Country setting because you're off the highway, you're kind of tucked away. It's a very invisible lifestyle. And so I wonder, how do we keep an eye there too and just make sure our public offices have the right information, or that our law enforcement officers, which I I'm certain they do, are out there prepared and seeing it. How do we as individuals come in and into that silent, unseen community?
I think that's a great question. You know, abuse is really all about power and control. Mm-hmm. And one way that that happens in the ESL community is they don't want these people to learn English at all. They don't want them to know the resources that are out there. However, they likely have some sort of of connection with other people in the community or other organizations in the community, which means it needs to fall not only on the responsibility of organizations that serve those people, but on people like you and on people, you know, who are listening to this radio show to know those resources so that should they interact with someone, they know who to send them to.
It could be as easy as sending someone to the appropriate food shelter in their immediate neighborhood. And that shelter might have more information or more trained professionals to see, but you've given them the first step to, here's a community benefit that really makes you more visible. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to miss the opportunity to just, we're all eyes and ears in this fight because it is very much a good versus evil fight, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you answering my curiosity on that. What else do we need to know about the organization that we haven't covered yet? What are the exciting things coming in 2025, 2026?
Well, our biggest thing that's coming is this new Family Empowerment Center, which I don't know that I shared this yet, but it's really built for us to grow into. It's going to help our current capacity, but long-term, we're hoping to double our capacity and really build out our neighborhood. And so we'll be able to serve more families. But with serving more families means we need to grow our support and grow our awareness in the community, of course, to be able to make that happen.
Well, we hope that all of our listeners will come join you for the gala. They can find more information at maghouse.org. That's maghouse.org. And get involved. And it may be through sponsorship. It may be through volunteering. And it might be just spreading this message and making more people in your immediate neighborhood aware of what's happening and what's out here in San Antonio and the Texas Hill Country.
Absolutely.
Becca, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for the way that you're building Texas.
Thank you, Justin.